Broadcasting live from the Subaru of Gwinnett Studios in Atlanta, it's time for Gwinnett Business Radio, spotlighting and highlighting business leaders in our area.
And hello again, everybody, and welcome to another award-winning edition of Gwinnett Business Radio here on Business Radio X. I am merely the host, Mike Salmon, alongside my counterpart, Stephen Julian. Good morning, Stephen.
Morning, Mike. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How you been? You been doing okay?
I've been doing well. I've missed the show.
We missed you last week. There was no show last week, was there?
Well, I did not get the memo.
Always good to have you in the studio.
Always good to be here. Always good to be invited, knowing that I still have a job here.
And always good to have some great guests. And we're excited about today's show. Two really good companies here in the Gwinnett County area. Joining us from AGCO is Eric Hansotia. And joining us from Trade Bank of Atlanta, it's Todd Gary. And we're going to start with Eric first. Eric Hansotia is the Senior Vice President, Global Crop Cycle and Advanced Technology. It's quite a mouthful there. Eric, welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Give us a broad overview of AGCO, a major company, and a lot of folks probably don't even realize you're here in Gwinnett County.
Yeah, amazingly enough, it may be one of the area's best-kept secrets. AGCO is the largest pure-play agriculture company in the world. You know, totally focused on agriculture, Fortune 250 company, $10 billion in sales recently, 20,000 employees all around the world, a very global company. About half our sales are in Europe, 25% in North America, and 20% in South America, and 5% in Asia in terms of revenue, but a lot more than that in units. So really exciting company in a very exciting industry, agriculture, which has a lot of growth opportunities.
So you're just a little bit bigger than Business Radio X, just a little bit. But your title just blows me away, Senior VP of Global Crop Cycle and Advanced Technology. What does that mean that you do?
Well, you know, I'm a member of the leadership team at AGCO. We're a lean team, but essentially our mission is to help AGCO grow and grow profitably and continue to help customers do farming better. My specific area of focus is to work on the product lines all the way from when a farmer starts their operation in the spring with tilling and then planting and or air seeding, then through the summer and managing their crop with spraying and fertilizing and then harvesting the crop in the fall. Those are the crops. Those are the crop activities a farmer does, and the machinery that does those activities is the area that I look after. Then the technology piece that connects all that equipment comes from our advanced technology group. Things like guidance systems and telematics that move data between the machines, move data from the machine to the customer, and things like that. So it provides an entire system for the customer to be able to farm better.
Wow, it's amazing because you think of farmers in the old days, you know, pulling the tractors with the horses and the mules and it's not like that anymore. Technology.
We've come a long way from shovels and hoes, right? I mean, it's interesting how that works. Now, Eric, one of the questions I was going to ask you is this global crop cycle, kind of the sector you're working on, how much of this came from you guys going, let's do a better job and help farmers with agriculture? How much of this has come from the farmers saying, this is what we need, kind of working hand in hand with you guys?
You know, it's really a two-way street in that if we take a look at agriculture, it's a tremendous growing industry, even though people don't recognize it. You know, just taking off of some of the comments you made, we actually see agriculture at a hinge point right now. And the term we use, hinge point, is that this is a specific time in history where the fundamental behavior of the industry is shifting. If you think back 100 years, like you guys referenced, that's when we went from horse-drawn equipment to mechanized, and there was a fundamental leap in productivity. Then in the middle of the century, there was the advent of electrohydraulics. Again, big boost in productivity. Now we've got the information age, where you can remotely monitor this equipment. The equipment can talk to one another. The dealer can monitor the equipment and optimize it. And we're going to see another leap in productivity from this farm equipment. So in that massive amount of change, there's new opportunities coming from technology companies, new opportunities coming from customers on how they want to do things differently, and then ideas from us. And we try and bring all that together to make the farmers more profitable.
We're talking with Eric Hansotia of AGCO. And Steve, and I met Eric recently at a chamber event. And it's amazing. They showed a video and it shows these farmers on the big tractors on the computers, you know, typing into the keyboard and so more. So technology really is a big part of it. So we've advanced, obviously, over the last 100 years, as we talked about. 25 years from now, I mean, how do you see this continuing to develop?
Well, once again, most people don't realize how much technology is in the farming equipment today And we think that's just going to continue to accelerate. Give you a couple examples. A lot of talk about driverless cars in news media. Well, that's already been accomplished in farm equipment. Most large ag equipment, once the farmer pulls into the field, drives for itself. It's got a GPS system knowing where it is, and it just makes a path through the field to optimally do the job it's doing, whether it's tilling or planting or harvesting or spraying. So automation is going to be a big move, not only driving one machine for itself, but we actually already have proven technology to drive multiple machines with one operator. So you can think of autonomous equipment being a big part of our future over the next 25 years. Wireless data, big one. That one is right here, right now, and it's probably the biggest change hitting the industry. We intend to lead that change. And then all of this is wrapped up in something that the industry calls precision farming. And that's coming from the fact that farmers around the world need to double productivity over the next 30 or 40 years. There's more mouths to feed. We're moving from a population of 7 billion people to 9 to 10 billion people. We're moving from an economies that are maturing in their prosperity. So as they do that, they go from a grain diet to a grain plus meat diet. And when they do that, that's a multiplier on the demand for food because meat consumes a lot more caloric intake than does grain. So there's a multiplier of anywhere from 2 to 10 times as much food required to be grown when people start eating meat. And the third one's biofuels. When you think about how much demand there is for an alternative to carbon fuels, whether it's in the form of ethanol from corn in the U.S., ethanol from sugar in South America, or soy diesel, or biodigesters from forage equipment, there's just more and more demands coming. You put all that together, farmers have to be twice as productive. Well, there's no more land, so they have to do it a different way. They have to do it smarter. And the term for that is precision farming. That's getting more out of each spot of land, treating each place on the field uniquely and optimally, putting the right inputs on there and getting the most outputs. So all this technology is coming together to be able to help customers drive their equipment with less effort, do more precise job on the farm, and do that more efficiently with higher yields.
Sounds like a bright future for AGCO as well because of all this growth. Okay, so you mentioned precision farming. A lot of our listeners may not be that familiar with the ag business. What are some other trends that you see happening as you move along that would impact AGCO?
Yeah, you know, so we talked about the trends as it relates to the overall industry. It also drives some trends on how the business behaves. So as this equipment becomes more and more sophisticated, it's more difficult for a given customer to make the most out of their piece of equipment. You can think of that same trend happening in jet engines or MRI machines, things like that. And so those industries have already gone through a shift where this remote monitoring of that high-tech equipment turns into a services business. And we are on the leading edge of that trend in the industry right now, and AGCO intends to really be a benchmark for the industry in how we move into this services business, helping our dealers remotely watch the equipment for our customers and be able to help them understand when are you not using that equipment quite right, the settings aren't set right, or you're not using it in conjunction with other equipment properly. When do you have a downtime issue that's coming your way that we can fix before it happens so we never have that machine go down in the field? And when do we have logistics issues that we can help you with so you never have one machine waiting on another? Those types of things. We see this turning into a tremendous services business for our dealers to help our customers take this leap forward in productivity. And the value there is going to shift the entire business model. So we're spending a lot of time on making that easy for our dealers and high value for our customers.
Eric, you talked about the ag business kind of being at a hinge point. I would imagine part of the hinge point is getting buy-in from dealers and also buy-in from farmers. Unpack that a little bit. What is AGCO doing to help push that along? And what message are you trying to deliver to the farmers to get them to buy in to the advances that you guys are offering?
Yeah, I'd offer maybe two thoughts on that. First of all, it's got to be bottom line driven. A farmer is foremost a business person. And so you need to be able to demonstrate where is their waste in their operation today, and how by using these new tools and these new services can their farm be more profitable and increase yields. So we're working on a whole set of activities with our dealers and customers in pilot dealers around the world, North America, South America, Europe, to be able to be a spearhead into this new services business, to be able to give real live examples of on a day in the farm, and here's what it used to look like before, and here's what it looks like after. So that's the first one. The second thing is easy. You can all see what happened with the Apple story, where they came out with just an easier way to interface with a device. Anytime you come out with a new technology or a new way of doing business, like we're talking about with these services, the way to make fast adoption happen is to make it easy. So the combination of value added to their bottom line and easy to understand and adopt are the two things that we're spending our energy on.
And you mentioned how now the equipment is communicating with the dealer, and the dealer is kind of now involved in helping. I don't know if that's kind of a very major breakthrough, but I would imagine as a farmer to go, now I'm getting help from the guy who sold me the equipment, and they're going to still be there and monitoring, and they got notified that I need to, you know, do this and help with less downtime. I would imagine that's it is amazing. People who sell cars, they, you know, put this chrome package or put this thing in there trying to make it nicer to buy. In the ag business, it'll help your bottom line.
Exactly.
It'll make your life easier. That's a good value add, no question about it.
My whole impression of farmers has changed just in the conversation, because I'm thinking of the guy with the overalls with the little hay stick in his mouth driving the tractor, and now I'm thinking he's sitting in front of his computer while all the equipment is doing the work in the field.
I have a family member who lives up north. He has a very, very small farm. I mean, micro farm type thing. I remember just a few years ago, he talked about, yeah, I climb in the cab and I just read my book while the thing goes back and forth. He said it's totally different. I mean, he talked about these changes a few years ago.
So ADCO, you have your location off Peachtree Industrial in Duluth. And if people drive by, they'll see the big tractor out front. But the more we talk, it's like, you don't just build tractors. You're not a tractor company. You're a technology company.
Yes, exactly. You know, the equipment is still always going to be very, very important. And we have to produce really high quality, high performance equipment. So that's the foundation. But more and more of our effort is on focusing on how to get the most out of that equipment and making it easy for the farm to capture the productivity that's been trapped for a long, long time.
Eric, I want to ask one question. And if this is totally a stupid question, you can tell me that. I can take it.
Okay.
But farm equipment is the other thing I think is that farm equipment is a long-term investment. Somebody buys it and it's supposed to last for years. But now that there's this technology edge, you know, the saying is technology doubles every 18 months. How do those two things get married together with a company like AGCO?
Yeah, so there's a few different shifts going on. Number one, this technology development within the company has forced us to rewire ourselves in terms of what competencies we have and how we partner with other companies. So I'll talk about the internal portion first. Our title for this technology strategy is called Fuse Technologies. And the services part of that is called Fuse Connected Services. Now, we've launched this bundling of strategy about 2 years ago. And since then, we've doubled our internal investment on technology, both in engineering and in the IT world, because of what I've talked about with data moving around. So that's kind of an element of increased investment. Along with that, though, we've had to change our clock speed. You know, when you design and develop a piece of large, technologically sophisticated equipment, you go through a fairly rigorous but lengthy process to build and then verify in the field that machinery is well put together and ready for the customer. Technology can't run at that same speed. It's got to move much, much faster. So we've had to redesign our processes and our whole internal activities to be able to move in weeks and months versus months and years. So that's the internal part. And we feel like we've really taken great strides in that. In conjunction with that, we've shifted our focus to be much more open to partnering and bringing in a lot of other companies. So although our internal investments have doubled, our adoption and collection of partners under this whole Fuse Strategies umbrella has grown immensely. And the idea there is that as technology moves so fast, we are not going to be the ones who come up with every great idea in this field. So we want to tap into the great ideas that others have and integrate them for our customers so it all looks like it came from one place. So we're using partners on GPS systems, partners on technology development like telematics, partners on how do you get good at the services business, bringing all those partners to the play, and then delivering that package to the customer. And then one other thing that we've had to get into a lot is this whole data privacy and data security. 5 years ago, people weren't talking about that. Today, they really are. And although farmers are really big businessmen and focused on that, they're also very protective, like all of us would be, of that data. And so AGCO has adopted a strategy that's unique to anybody else in the industry in that we treat the data differently. We create two pipes of data coming off the machine. One's about the machine data. Where's my location, my hours, and some machine status situations. That comes back to the dealer if the customer says it's okay. There's this other kind of data of what's the yield of my crop coming off my combine. That's essentially like the farmer's bank account. They're really, really sensitive about that data, and they think very differently about that than they do their machine data. So we actually created a second pipe for the data to go around us directly to whatever partner that customer wants it to go to, either directly back to the customer or to their agronomist or someone else who helps them manage that data. Everybody else has it coming across their own system. We've done it differently. And we're really trying to make sure that we do a good job with this data privacy and data security.
We're talking with Eric Hansotia. He's a senior vice president with AGCO here on Gwinnett Business Radio. AGCO obviously changing with the times, always having to stay ahead of the curve. You've had a lot of big announcements. Talk about some of the big announcements you've had recently and maybe some big announcements we might see in the future.
All right, very good. Well, you know, there's so many to cover. I won't be able to do that, but I'm going to pick maybe a few highlights. Starting on the small end of our equipment, we've come out with a new Global Series tractor. It's a rural lifestyle type tractor and one that we think is an absolute winner for getting customers a high quality product at a very competitive price. It's actually, many of the components are built in our low cost countries and we're going to use that product around the world. All the way to the other extreme, we've come out with the largest row crop tractor in the world called our X1000 and resetting the stage for what a tractor can do. So that's kind of the tractor business. In planting, we've announced a partnership with a company called Precision Planting, in keeping with what the discussion I just had. Want to tap into good ideas in the industry and bring them to our customers. They've got the most leading edge planter technology for doing a great job with putting that crop in the ground and monitoring how it's doing. We've refreshed our entire line of combines in South America. We just opened a Future Farm in Zambia. So we've talked all about this high-tech equipment for large farms, but we're also working on this first level mechanization for farmers who are doing everything by hand. We're trying to help them to move into mechanized farming. They get a lot more productive and they can be a lot more profitable for their internal farming operation. So we've created a farm to show them how do you do farming all the way from A to Z. All of our equipment's there. We've got lots of partners involved with seed and fertilizer and the whole ball of wax. So we can bring customers and dealers there to understand in that emerging market how to do this. And finally, our last business that doesn't get a lot of attention is GSI, Grain Storage and Systems. They're the business that does grain storage as well as the protein management business for rearing poultry and swine and those types of things. They've come out with a new control system called Edge for managing and monitoring the ventilation, cooling, heating, feeding, and watering systems on swine operations. And the one that I'm super excited about that's maybe closest to my heart is this whole new services business and a lot of the new technology that goes along with it. So lots to be excited about, a lot changing in the ag industry, and AGCO intends to lead the way in the services business and with farmer partnering around the world.
So what I'm hearing, Eric, is that really nothing's going on there.
You know, I wish you guys would work on doing some new stuff.
Do something. Find something to keep yourself
busy. Quit resting on your laurels over there.
I'm just pleased that Eric had enough time to come here to Gwinnett Business Radio and join us for this show. My goodness. Before we let you go, Eric, please, for those that want to find out more about your company, where would you want to send them?
You know, probably the best place is our website, agcocorp.com. It's a great place to learn about our products. If you look for a dealer that may be near you to be able to go and get a hands-on feel for what's happening there. If you happen to be in the local area, you're welcome to drive by our operation. But our website has got really the most broad coverage of understanding of what's going on with our Fuse strategy, our whole product line, and our global business.
Eric Hansotia from AGCO, Senior Vice President of Global Crop Cycle and Advanced Technology. Eric, thank you so much for joining us and sharing all this great work you guys are doing.
Boy, it's been a real pleasure. Thanks a lot, Mike.
All right.
Mike, I think it's safe to say that farmers both big and small, no matter how big the size of their farm, they love AGCO. Would you agree with that statement?
Wholeheartedly,
I'm going to
yes.
boldly say that statement. But another thing about love, it's what makes a Subaru. Did you know, Mike, that you can get big savings and enjoy a hassle-free experience at Subaru of Gwinnett? And did you know that Subaru of Gwinnett is where people sell cars? You knew that, didn't you, Mike?
I know now.
Well, you've known before.
We are in the Subaru of Gwinnett studio,
That's
of course.
That's exactly
yes.
right. So, not only come visit the...
Soon to be the AGCO studio. Maybe we'll have a lot of farmers come on the show.
Not only should people come visit the Subaru of Gwinnett studios here at Business Radio X, but they should visit SubaruofGwinnett.com and the Subaru of Gwinnett lot and join their family today. Come in and see the difference. And maybe you're already a Subaruist. Then follow Subaru of Gwinnett Facebook page for the latest Subaru offers, news, and community events.
You know, Steven, if I ever got a tractor from Eric, I'd want to get it souped up and tricked up and everything.
You just want it to drive itself. And didn't you listen? You want to increase the production. You want to increase the yield. You want to protect both of those pipes of data. You need to listen.
I'm thinking like a high-tech stereo system.
No, I want it to give me the best return on my investment so that I can run a profitable farm.
Take it out on the town.
Then you go buy a car and get that souped up.
The car, which tractor would be my car? Well, I guess
drive it
the track,
town.
I could have a 2-car garage. I'd have a tractor on one side and the Subaru on the other side.
You think if you did that on 85, people would get out of your way?
Talking to Eric, it sounds like these things probably can go about 60, 70 miles an hour now. It's not our old grandpa's tractor.
The right lane is where I want to plant my seed, so I'm just going to set it to go, and it's just going to go straight.
Our next guest here, gosh forbid, Todd Gary. He's with Trade Bank of Atlanta, Regional Director for Trade Bank of Atlanta. Good morning, Todd.
Hey, good morning, Mike.
Great to have you here in the studio. Tell us all about Trade Bank of Atlanta.
Well, Trade Bank is not your traditional bank. Instead, what we do is we represent thousands of business owners, not only here in the Atlanta market, but throughout North America, who all trade and barter their products and services to conserve cash. Essentially, what we do is we look to bring our clients absolutely new business, utilizing some of that excess capacity that they may have in their business, and then turning around and using that newfound revenue to offset cash expenses for their business, making their business more profitable, or even enhancing their personal lifestyle.
All right, let's kind of wrap our arms around that a little bit more. If I'm a business and you want to recruit me for Trade Bank of Atlanta, what exactly would you say? How exactly are you going to help my business?
First and foremost, what I'm going to do is I'm going to look to market your business to our vast network of trading partners. We're going to bring you that new business guaranteed. So you're going to have new customers coming in through your door. Now, in turn, what we're going to do with that newfound revenue, because this is a cashless commerce. So in turn, what we're going to do with that newfound revenue is we're going to find ways back within that network and ways where you're currently spending cash either on your business or on your personal lifestyle to turn around and offset those cash expenses, allowing you to keep that cash in the bank.
So what kind of businesses participate in Trade Bank?
We represent everything from accountants to zoos. So if you can go out there and pay for it with cash, chances are we're going to be able to find it within our network.
So if and did you notice the accountants to zoos? That's A to Z. That was very smart.
Oh, you like that.
But Todd, I'm going to drill down on that a little bit. I like that. Accountants to zoos, you run the spectrum. I would imagine, though, there are certain businesses that very quickly and to maybe to a larger extent see really good benefits. I mean, very quickly see the benefits. So what are some of the target type businesses that are really best for Trade Bank?
What we look for is we look for companies who have margins in what they do. And the reason being is now when you go out and you make purchases, you're making purchases based upon your cost of goods sold. So if you're a big box store, if you're a grocery store, they're dealing with very slim margins, but make their money based upon volume. They're not a real strong candidate for Trade Bank. However, if you have the ability to take on new business, whether it be time, or if you've got excess inventory in terms of products and you want to be able to move those products or fill in that time, Trade Bank's a perfect way to be able to market those products and services to put that to productive use back towards your business.
And Trade Bank has been doing this for a while, so I would imagine you could fill up show after show after show of stories, but Maybe a story that really illustrates, you're doing a great job of explaining it, but sometimes stories illustrate it a little bit better. So maybe a story or an example of two different business owners who kind of found themselves through Trade Bank, and maybe one benefited the other and then this one benefited a third one. Give a good story example of how Trade Bank would work for a business owner like me.
Well, I think for a restaurant, for example, restaurants nowadays are probably one of the most competitive industries out there. So for a restaurant, for them to be able to come in and bring a whole new clientele through their restaurant, to gain that exposure, to bring people back through their doors, to generate word of mouth advertising, now they're able to go ahead and they're able to expand, bring on another location, look to do build outs. A lot of that construction work, when you look to expand as a restaurant, all can be done through Trade Bank. And we've had numerous stories of restaurateurs that we've been able to help that are looking to take their business to the next level, that are looking to get a new location, not only in getting them the clientele to put them on the map, but also to provide them with the products that they need, the services that they need to make their dreams come true and move forward in a new location.
And they might be willing to barter through either catering or just, hey, come in and you have access to meals if I have access to something else that I'm bartering through the bank.
Well, and the thing to keep in mind, when I bring up trade and barter, a lot of people think of direct trades because a lot of that goes on out there today, even though not a lot of people are aware of organized barter. The difference being is that when you do a direct trade, you're pigeonholed into having to do business with the person who's looking to do business with you. With Trade Bank, we have a round robin trading system. Essentially, what that means is that when a client it takes on a new customer, those funds go into a Trade Bank account, much like a bank account. They can then turn around and use those funds anywhere they want back in the system on things where they're currently spending cash. So for a restaurant, for example, and keep in mind, the business owners let us know the level of business that they're looking for, and we can customize our marketing efforts to make sure that we're bringing them that level of business. So we can bring them that type of business, and then in turn, they can use that for whatever it is that they need, whether it be printing needs, advertising and marketing, building maintenance, you name it.
And you mentioned companies from A to Z, so we're not talking just dozens of companies. We're talking hundreds of companies and are thousands. I don't know what the number is. And is it just local companies, or is it outside our area?
We represent hundreds of business owners here in the Atlanta market, but thousands throughout North America. We've got offices throughout the Southeast, as far west as Las Vegas, Denver, Colorado Springs, and we have a network of brokers. And essentially what we do is we utilize that network in order to be able to grow our clients' business. Now, there are going to be some businesses that are going to be strictly local, where we're going to bring them local business from whatever radius it is that they normally get their business. But also for those businesses that are more nationwide, can take on business throughout North America, we can actually market them accordingly and bring them new business from probably areas of the country that they're not accustomed to getting new business from.
Todd, let's assume I am a business owner, but let's assume I'm a business owner. I'm the zookeeper, like you talked about. I'm the Z. How do I start? Where do I start? What's the process of getting signed up and starting with Trade Bank?
The process is really simple. Essentially, we establish an account for you, again, much like that of a bank account. Trade Bank is a performance-driven company, so there are no obligations to the business owner whatsoever. We either go out there and produce, meaning that we actually bring you the new business and in turn find attractive buying opportunities for you, or we simply go our separate ways. But it's simply just a matter of opening up an account and giving us an opportunity to market your services or products to bring you that new business that you're looking for.
And in opening up an account, rather than opening up a traditional bank account with money, I'm opening up an account with, here's what I can offer to the network.
That's exactly right. And then the first things first, what we want to do is we want to be able to market your business to bring you new business. Then we work on finding attractive buying opportunities for you.
We're talking with Todd Gary. He's a regional director with Trade Bank of Atlanta. So what I'm hearing, Stephen, is if, say, ADCO were a member of Trade Bank and Business Radio X were a member of Trade Bank, I could get my souped-up tractor in exchange for airtime.
Yes, Mike.
It would probably have to be a lot of airtime.
Yes. Okay. That ADCO would get a They would have shows to the end of time
yeah,
for
pretty your
souped-up tractor.
Yes. On a serious note, though, Todd, I've got to ask the question of the elephant in the room. You guys got to be making money somewhere, so I assume there are some fees for the businesses involved, at least to get started?
Well, there is a one-time retainer fee that we back with a money-back guarantee, simply stating that we guarantee to bring you that level of new business within your first year. We give you your money back. So it's really a risk-free opportunity for businesses to come on board to give us an opportunity to go out there and perform. As far as an ongoing fee, we have a 12% brokerage fee, but it's only on the purchases that you make. So we can bring businesses new business all day long, because the very first thing that our clients want to know is, how am I going to spend it? So that's why we have our brokerage fee set up, so that we can bring you business all day long. And that's not where we make our money. We make our money when you profit first. So you go out and you make purchases. We make a 12% brokerage fee on that, and you've profited because you've kept that cash in your pocket.
Todd, we are Gwinnett Business Radio, and you talked about how there's a national and potentially an international reach of this business. But I'm going to ask you a question focused on Gwinnett. Again, you go from accountants to zoos. But what are some of the businesses in Gwinnett that are not taking advantage of this that need to, and when they hear this and they get connected through this interview or whatever else, they what are the types of businesses that are not taking advantage of this that really should be?
Well, I mentioned, that there are restaurants. There's a wide variety of businesses out there that turn to advertising to draw business their way. Now, in advertising can be tricky because you don't really know what your return of investment is going to be on that. And some advertising works and other doesn't. And by the time it's all said and done, you've probably invested dollars that maybe could have gone someplace else. So I think that any business owner out there in Gwinnett that's looking to truly drive new business their way, give their business additional exposure, and grow their clientele, I think that Trade Bank is a great opportunity for them.
And not many advertising businesses use the word guaranteed.
No, they don't. And in fact, you're not going to have any advertising representative come in there and say, we're going to guarantee if you place your ad here that that's going to draw new customers your way. And Trade Bank does make that guarantee, where we guarantee to bring you new business.
And this is not a fly-by-night company. Tell us a little bit about the history of Trade Bank of Atlanta.
Well, Trade Bank has been around since 1987. We got our start down on Pleasantdale Road. Now we're down on Lakes Parkway off of Sugarloaf. They're at the 316 area. We are actually a franchise company. Trade Bank got started down in the Macon, Columbus area, gravitated toward the Atlanta market for obvious reasons. But we've got franchise offices throughout the country, and I think that the trade and barter industry, especially with the downturn in the economy, has seen a lot of play in the media. A lot of people still today aren't aware that organized barter even exists. So for us, it's about going out there, educating the community, letting them know of the impact that we can make.
Well, and I think also when people see those news stories of the trade and barter economy, they're thinking of what you talked about, one-to-one swap, and it's not necessarily driving new business. It's I'm getting some business that I wouldn't get, but I don't know if that's necessarily the business I want. There's this advertising side to this, and I like the term you used as round robin. It's more than just bartering. It's bartering. It's trade and bartering to drive your business and to grow your business.
Sure. One-on-one trading facilitates a need. Somebody may have a need. They seek out somebody who can provide that to them. In turn, they provide the service. Oftentimes in a direct trade, you're not going to get fair value in return for what you provided. With Trade Bank, you're guaranteed to get fair value. All of our Trade Bank dollars have the same value as a U.S. dollar. Those go into your account. But we do a lot of advertising for your business throughout our network. Daily, we're sending out what we refer to as trade flashes, which are broadcast emails, essentially advertising our clients throughout the network with the sole purpose of driving new business their way. And then, of course, on the flip side, when somebody comes on board and does business with Trade Bank, it's not like they're going on the website trying to find what it is that they may need, because we realize that business owners today have a focus of on their business. So we provide them with a broker. And their trade broker's job is to do everything for them, market their business day in and day out by phone, as well as using the other outlets that we have available to us, and then acting as their purchasing agent. So all a client has to do when they're looking for something is simply pick up the phone, call their broker, and their broker will tell them exactly where they can go to find that product or service that they need. So essentially what it is it's business owners making the decision to simply take on another form of currency. And I think that what the community out there, what the business community has forgotten over time is that they've grown so accustomed to using check, cash, or credit card that they've forgotten that virtually everything out there today is a currency. So why not utilize what you have, and in this case for these business owners, it's excess capacity to acquire what you need.
And if you think about it, you go back to the beginning of time, that's how transactions were done. This way. And I think it's great that you've been here today to share what Trade Bank of Atlanta does for those business leaders that are listening and business owners that didn't think about it or were afraid to ask the questions. Now they know that is an option. For those that would like to find out more, maybe consider being a part of the organization, where should they go?
They can go to our website. It's www.tradebank.com. And there's all the information you'd ever want to know about how Trade Bank works, testimonials and things of that nature, so they can learn more about how trade and barter can personally benefit them, because it does benefit business owners differently. What one business owner's need is not that of another. So for us, we want to be able to go in and we want to talk with them also and consult with them about what their needs are. But go to our website and it's loaded with information.
Does there happen to be a list, say, on the website where you could see some of the other businesses that are participating?
We have a list of categories that we represent, but because of the fact that our financial side, our banking side, is tied with the virtual directory, it is password protected. Like I said, usually what we do is we go out and consult with the business owner, understand what their needs are, and if we can go ahead and fulfill some of those needs, then it gives us an opportunity to possibly do business together.
Great. Todd Gary with Trade Bank of Atlanta, thanks so much for your time.
Thanks, guys.
Mike, you're a fantastic director. Did you know that?
I do now.
Well, do you know
thanks
why?
Thanks for reminding me.
Well, here we had Todd from Trade Bank on, and behind you is a beautiful wall graphic that says Subaru of Gwinnett Atlanta, which we talked about, but that graphic was made by Speed Pro Imaging, and if I'm not mistaken, there was a little bit of bartering that went on for that, and they did a great job, didn't they?
Yeah.
Because Speed Pro Imaging in Marietta helps businesses stand out by providing high-quality large graphics. If you can imagine it, they can make it. As the industry leader for large-scale printing, they deliver impactful images that share a message, attract attention, and reinforce your brand. To find out more, Mike, visit speedpromarietta.com.
All right. Well done, Stephen. And by the way, I want to acknowledge our friends at Speed Pro Imaging of Marietta. As you know, by listening to the show, they produced the awesome wall graphic that Stephen just talked about here in the Subaru of Gwinnett studio, plus some other signage for Business Radio X. Recently, they held an open house, and Lanice Williams, who operates the Business Radio X studio in Cobb County, was there and attending the open house, and she met some great business leaders at the event, including Gretchen Fuller of Warner Fulton Consulting.
This is Lanice Williams with Business Radio X, and I'm here with Gretchen Fuller, the president of Warner Fuller Consulting. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. So if you can tell our listening audience a little bit about yourself and about your consulting agency.
Well, I've been consulting for over 20 years, and we specialize in financial infrastructure for businesses. In other words, we help businesses get sleep. So a business owner that's staying awake at night trying to manage their money by looking at their check account every morning, figuring out how they're going to pay XYZ and if they have enough money. So we help them put procedures in place to sleep at night.
So what's one tip that you would give to one of those business owners that are up right now stressing?
Get help.
Call you, right? And you said you've been doing this for 18 years?
Over 20 years.
Oh, 20 years. Awesome. And so how did you get your start in this industry?
Actually, word of mouth. I had a friend who was on the board of an organization, and they were struggling to get through their audit. And so they asked me to come in and help them because they had recently lost their CFO but had been without financial help for quite some time. So I went in to help them get organized and get through their audit and ended up staying on.
So you accidentally became a consultant.
Exactly.
But I bet it was the best accident ever.
It was. It was.
Awesome. So if our listeners want to learn more about you and about what you do, how can they find out more?
They can reach us at www.warnerfuller.com, or they can contact us at 404-822-6196. And they can also find me on LinkedIn at Gretchen Warner Fuller.
Thank you so much. It was great meeting you.
You too. Thank you.
All right, I appreciate that with Lanice Williams. And before we leave you today, I want to introduce you to one of the key players at Speed Pro Imaging of Marietta. His name is Tristan Paul, and I had a chance to talk with him earlier, not too long ago. I'm with Tristan Paul with Speed Pro Imaging Marietta. And Tristan, you're in charge of production here. What is your role with the organization?
As production manager, there are a few things that are my watch. Everything from accountability to for every job that comes in, managing it from start to finish, executing the each design so that, you know, the customer walks away happy, and delegating everything I can to other employees so to lessen my work and to make things run as smooth as possible.
I can only imagine some of the stuff people have come through the doors asking for. Can you maybe share some of the crazier or wackier things that you've had to produce?
We've had everything from, you know, a 30-foot long banner for a bus that was only going to be used for one day to cork boards that people are prototyping for their new designs. We usually don't try and print on any found material. We like a good solid piece from the manufacturer before we print on it, but every now and then, you know, we do mock-up samples for customers that have ideas that, you know, you got to start someplace.
So there's really not much you won't do or can't try to do. What do customers kind of need to know when they come in? Because you can't make magic. I mean, you have to start with something. What do they need to know? What would you like to share with them?
One thing they need to know is that every substrate is different. You know, static cling takes a longer time to dry than your regular poster paper because the ink sits on top of the substrate instead of absorbing in like your regular 10 mil paper. And also another thing to know is that resolution size is different. You can't just take a image from the internet and plop it on a poster and expect to be perfect quality. Internet images are downsampled to 72 ppi, and so if you try and print those, you're going to not have the crisp, clear image that it might look like on your phone.
Yeah, people need to be realistic because they could bring in a little logo that's like a business-sized logo, and they want it to be on a 30-foot wall mural, and that's just not going to happen. So, as I said, you can't actually do magic. Talk about how long you've been here and what you enjoy most about what you do, Tristan.
I've been working here for about a year, and I enjoy working with people and finding easy solutions to difficult problems.
And that is Tristan Paul. And as always, I want to thank Speed Pro Imaging of Marietta for all their support of Business Radio X. Also want to thank our guests today here on the program, Eric Hansodia with ADCO. Eric, once again, for those that want to find out more about your company, give us a brief overview and where we can find out more information.
Well, thank you. So, you know, we're super excited about the future of the agricultural industry and think there's no other company with more upside than AGCO.
And after hearing you today, I would agree with you. Hear, hear.
So we intend to lead the way in the industry. And for those of you that would like to learn a little bit more about that, please join us on our website at www.agcocorp.com.
And Todd, you had some great information about Trade Bank of Atlanta. For those that want to find out more, again, where can they go for that information?
I would say for business owners that are looking to acquire new business, for those that are looking to take underutilized capacity and turn that into newfound revenue, you could check us out at tradebank.com.
Great stuff. Again, thank you, gentlemen, for joining us today. A reminder that you can enjoy this program or any of our other Gwinnett Business Radio programs anytime, day or night, 24/7 by visiting gwinnettbusinessradio.businessradiox.com. Remember, these shows are also available on iTunes. Also, be sure to follow us on Twitter at Gwinnett Radio X and to like us on Facebook at Gwinnett Radio X. For Steve and Julian.
Mike, I'm hoping that you don't fire me and then use that money to buy your souped-up tractor or I hope you're not going to, you know, excess margin. I hope you're not going to use my chair on this show to barter for some stuff.
I'll use the chair for the souped-up tractor that'll be driving down 285. And for our producer, Trey Odom, I'm Mike Salmon. We'll see you next time right here on Gwinnett Business Radio.